Aware that I am talking to people who are well taught already. So, so I don't have to work hard to teach you. So I can have rest. Incidentally, that rest mentioned in Ruth is for wives. It's wives, not for husbands. You know, years ago when I was counseling and conducting weddings, I used to say that marriage should help women to come into a life of rest instead of too much work. I don't know whether I am wrong in that interpretation. See, taking care of the children is almost double full-time work. So we should let it be. But who can teach that? Who can hear that in modern America and the rest of the world? It used to be like that. I believe so, you know. I have prayed and asked the Lord what I can share to encourage you. Exhort one another daily as you see the day approaching. And Peter wrote that when the Lord's coming is near, when in the end times people will come asking the question, where is the promise of his coming? Do you follow me? In other words, in our day, in our hearts, the expectation of our Lord's coming may not be fervent. Whereas in Hebrews it says, he is coming for those who are looking for him earnestly or fervently. So when I judge myself about that, I have reason to repent and ask for mercy. Oh Lord, revive me. Revive me if my thoughts are temporal oriented or heavenly oriented. We should be heavenly minded. Think upon things. Since if you are raised with Christ, think of those things which are in heaven, where Christ sitteth on at the right hand of the Father. It is my desire, without departing from our topic of loving one another, we have to be in an active state of spiritual life, not only in the sense of normal goodness, which is highly admirable. Lord, am I waiting for you to come for me? I told somebody here, there is a south, did I mention that to you here? I may have forgotten. A simple-minded sister from South Korea in Georgia, where I was, she asked me, Joseph, do you think Jesus will come in our lifetime? Did I mention that here? Yeah, see, yeah. The thing is, that sister had a sincere expectation to know whether I expect Jesus to come in our lifetime. You know, if we have, the early Christians lived and died in that faith. They expected Christ to come in their lifetime. That is what gives us the energy to desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to desire to live holy lives, and to love one another. In other words, we come into a certain mode of spiritual experience where we live for a heavenly purpose, both in personal life and in family life and in church life, community life. Even in the Christian era, last 2,000 years, there have been periods of revival. God used people like John Wesley and others. A revival. It's a jump from the normal curve, you know. Do you think we have it now? Sister says there is worldwide. Yeah. Here and there, God is raising up revival-minded people. We don't want to miss that. See, we don't want to miss that. Now, in personal life, how will it manifest itself? Can you say something? In personal life, how can I know I am revived? Honestly? A child is lifting his hand. No. Anyone want to venture, give a suggestion? How can I know if I am revived? There's a verse which will revive us again, you know. There's a song. Sister, that was what I was saying. There's a verse in Isaiah, I will make them joyful in the house of prayer. I have repeatedly thought, Lord, how much joy I have in prayer. How much joy I have in prayer. I think it's in Isaiah 57 or so. We can find it, sister. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. We can. If you don't mind, you can read that.
Yeah. These I will bring to my holy house and make them joyful in my house.
Yeah. Oh, amen. Oh, what a verse is that. Even them will I bring in my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted in mine altar, and my house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. So that we will be revived for prayer is confirmed by the last part of that verse. House of prayer. House of prayer. You know, people like me, those of you who have retired, may want to, regardless of how old you are, without doubt, the best use of our time is prayer or actions that are prompted by prayer, you know. So the basic ingredient is prayer in the church or. But that takes a certain disposition. It is one thing for me to know it scripturally, but it's another thing, my disposition to be that. In several months ago, I give you a testimony. Several months ago, it came into my heart. that as I am older and my time runs short, I should think of, I should believe God to live a life of joy, joyfulness, to rejoice. See, I was not reading the Bible. I was not in the church or anywhere. It just came into my heart about maybe 4, 5, 6 months ago. I should rejoice. I should rejoice. I believe the Lord was speaking to me. In fact, to be joyful, that will enable you, even in doing good and loving one another, etc., etc. It is like putting air in the balloon, you know. Even if you are poor, even if you are limited, when the Holy Spirit puts the air in the balloon, you will find ways to be a blessing. God blessed Abraham and said that I will bless you and make you a blessing. And it is written in the New Testament that the blessing of Abraham should come upon us by the Holy Spirit, which means we should be a blessing. Yeah, Abraham's blessing. As I sought the Lord to share a few words here, this in 1 Thessalonians, in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I hope I can speak a few words that will affirm the things we have heard this weekend. See, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. In every church, again before I forget, in every church God will raise up someone, one or two, or man or woman, who will be like watchmen for that church in prayer. What a blessing is that? It is God's choice. You may not be a preacher, but you will be a watchman, he says. I am thankful. I have a desire to be a, some people use the word, prayer warrior, you know. So, I have a long way to go. I have a long way to go to profess or to confess that I rejoice in prayer always. And I want to be that way. Pray without ceasing. That's what it says here, chapter 5, verse 16, 17, 18. See, dear ones, it is a good verse to remember. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, verses 16, 17, 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. See, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The next verse is, quench not the Spirit, which means the gift of the Holy Spirit and the operation of the Holy Spirit in our life goes with that. Spirit of prayer. See, then, despise not prophesying. Prophesying in the New Testament typically is, as you read in 1 Corinthians 14, is to be a man of prayer and hear God's voice to speak to someone or the church, which will encourage them. But again, like putting fuel in the car, prayer is the fuel. And it can be a man or a woman. Philip had four daughters, apparently fairly young, four daughters who prophesied in the early church. Again, which means you don't have to be a preacher. I believe those girls were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were prayerful people. We should encourage our children. Encourage our children. So, emphasizing that part, rejoice evermore. I want to emphasize that and hope that for, again, my personal life, some of you, though you are not old, as you grow older, you may find it more meaningful to remember that, Lord, I want to rejoice. Because old age has trials, which goes against rejoicing. Moses said that in Psalm 90. One verse to help us rejoice. One verse in, again, very, very, very familiar words, Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. We all know that always. See. Though we know that, if you want to turn to that for a minute, that is a very special verse. Reading from verse 26. Romans 8, starting from verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. So even our prayer, we can be very deficient. He says, we know not how we should pray as we ought to. So everything I said so far can be seen in that light. You know, we know not what we should pray for. Pray as we ought to. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What do you think about that verse? The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I speaking from memory, years ago I read, I believe it was John Wesley's notes. He said, even when we do not know what to pray for a person or a subject, the very thoughts you are thinking towards God about that becomes prayers. So you can consider that, you know. Your very thoughts will ascend to God as prayer. So then, which means prayer is not a complicated thing. Prayer, your thoughts become prayers. See, there were two trees in the Garden of Eden. This has come to my heart. There were two trees in the Garden of Eden. One was the tree of knowledge and the tree of light, a tree of life. See, in our hearts also, you can picture as a parable. My thoughts are like the tree of knowledge. My prayers are like the tree of life. A tree of life, the proper interpretation of the tree of life is that is Christ, you know. And it is in the New Jerusalem. But in the context of prayer, when a thought comes into my mind, whether it is about a person or a situation in my life or a political subject, whatever the thought is, if I will remember to turn that into a prayer instantly, it becomes the tree of life. See, I want to learn that. Such a prayer is like our life breath. You know, we live by that. That is the life in the spirit. Yeah. So that verse, which we read from 1 Thessalonians, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. In Philippians, there is a verse, Paul writes, rejoice evermore, and rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. So what do you think? How those men thought, Paul and all, while they lived and suffered persecution and preached the gospel. You know, that is how they all thought, to rejoice. Philippians, I believe he wrote from prison. And we don't have any persecution. I request you all to pray for me. I need your prayers. See, everything I have tried to tell you is like a testimony. As I said, I know you are all very well taught. But I need you to remember me as one who needs your prayer. Wherever I am. So I am not always in the same location because of my situation. But even that, all things work together for good to them that love God. Or called according to your purpose. That verse I have found comfort repeatedly. I will read that once more. I didn't finish that. See, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What do you think? Everything is spoken there in the past tense or past participle, whichever is the right one. So, in other words, it is finished. It is done. What is not done? Did you notice that in that process, in those three verses, what is it yet to be done? What is it now being done? I studied that several years ago. Can someone tell me what is that being done now? Say, we are called, we are justified, we are glorified. Huh? It does not say sanctified. But there is another word there. In the same word. It is not wrong. We are always. There is a sanctification in the beginning and there is a continuing sanctification until the last breath. That is written in one of the Hebrews. You know. Now, but what I am saying is here, in this passage, what is being done now? There is a verse. Brother, Bruce gets the prize. We are being conformed to his image, which parallels being sanctified. So, again, that is reason to rejoice. We are being conformed to the image of his son when we are born again. When we are born again, we are born as a baby in the image of Jesus. Then there is a baby Jesus in us, so to speak. And he grows, being fed by the milk of the Word of God. the breath of the Holy Spirit, so to speak, if you want to use a parable. If you read the Word of God, you pray, then like a baby drinks milk, we drink milk. And the meat also is God's Word. And we breathe the fresh air of the Holy Spirit. And love surrounds the whole thing, you know. And our very being becomes a manifestation of love in towards God, towards brothers and sisters, as we have been teaching here these last couple of days, you know. We can love one another and pray for one another, do good to each other, and be hospitable. So God has enriched us so much, those of us who live in the United States. We have too much to give away, if we would. If God would accept that, you know. And so, again, I speak all these things as a testimony. I want to live as I am confessing before you this morning. You all have loved me very much over the years, those of you who have known me. And I highly, highly appreciate that. Very thankful for that. I didn't expect to come here this time, but God so provided. Lord, I thank you for these moments, this retreat. What has happened here last 2 days, 3 days, every word spoken here, may there be a fruit, O Lord God, unto eternal life. Thank you, thank you. In my life, O Lord, help me. May my house, my heart be a house of prayer. O Lord, raise up men and women who will be watchmen for this church, O Lord God. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. A revival, O Lord, in our hearts, in our daily life. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God's people everywhere who are calling upon your name, Lord God, revive them, revive them. Bless them, bless them. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks again, brothers and sisters. There is plenty of time.